Biden marks Earth Day, which I guess was yesterday, I think was Earth Day. Did really? You Earth yesterday?
I mean, my son brought home a tree like 2 weeks ago.
Well, that was probably Arbor Day.
Oh.
Yeah. This is Earth. Did he bring home an Earth yesterday?
No.
Oh, I guess the school doesn't celebrate. You are in Tennessee, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't care about that.
No.
All right. Biden marks Earth Day with $7 billion solar for all investment amid week of climate action. Mm. This is a climate week. They're going hard on this climate thing right now, which means they got some extra money they need to dish out to some friends, essentially, is what this means. So here you go. Here you go, Charlie.
All right. Joe Biden marked Monday's Earth Day by announcing a $7 billion investment in solar energy projects nationwide, focusing on disadvantaged communities, meaning where his buddies are.
It's like communities where sheets are located, probably.
And unveiling a week-long series of what the White House says will be historic climate actions. The president was speaking at Prince William Forest Park in Triangle, Virginia, touting his environmental record and unveiling measures to tackle the climate crisis and increase access to and lower cost of clean energy.
Hold on, I got to show you this tweet that he put out real quick.
Lower cost, meaning you still pay for it in the form of your taxes being stolen from you and then given to other people.
Check out this tweet. He said, today, my administration is investing $7 billion in a new program called Solar for All that will enable over 900,000 low-income households to have solar on their rooftops for the first time. Solar for All will give folks more breathing room and cleaner breathing room at that. Mm-hmm. So my response to that was, this is just what low-income households were needing, was solar panels on top of their house.
Yes.
Paid for with their money. Mm-hmm. That they decided not to use on solar panels. But yeah. So anyhow, sorry, I'll go back to the article here.
All right, the centerpiece was announced of $7 billion in grants through the Environmental Protection Agency's Solar for All program, funded by last year's $369 billion Inflation Reduction Act, and which Biden said will benefit hundreds of thousands of mostly low-income families who currently spend up to 30% of their income on energy.
Up to, which means it could be anywhere from
zero to 30.
Just so everyone's clear. Probably one person in the category spent 30%. Now, they're low-income households. So when I look at the energy costs, like at my house, which we don't have super cheap energy here or anything, I don't think. Not really sure what it is. But we spend, I think, $230 a month on the electric, on the light bill here. In Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
Is that good or is it bad?
That's bad.
Is it bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think my most expensive light bill, just electricity here, was like $150. That's like most expensive.
So what do you, let's say it's 300. Let's say it's 300 instead because you're in a different location. What do you have to be making for that to be
$1,000 a month?
$1,000 a month. So your household, just so you know, needs to be making $12,000 a year if your electric bill is $300 a month.
Well, they say energy, so are they including like gas, electric, like all the different forms?
I mean, mine's included, like I don't have gas, so that includes
how much you spend on firewood.
All the different forms. Well, nothing right now because I've been getting firewood from my up at the farm. So
Is that right free? Now.
So
somebody had to cut it.
Yeah. It's free to me, technically. So anyhow, what I'm saying is this is a household that is apparently, let's be generous. And let's say the household is making 20 grand a year. The 30%.
Let's do 24. Right? So it's real easy math.
Real easy math.
2000 a month.
Okay. 2000 a month.
Yes.
I'm not saying there's not any households like that.
That means they have to spend $600 on energy.
You want to know the case here? You probably don't own your house if you're making that amount of money.
Yeah.
More than likely. And remember, 20 was super generous. We just went extravagantly generous for your income to say that it could be up to 30% of your income on energy. And so you probably don't own your house in the first place. You're probably putting solar panels on one of BlackRock's rental properties in a low-income neighborhood, more than likely. But anyhow, Did you read through this one already?
I did.
Okay, yeah. Let's go. So this is the EPA's website, Solar for All. 60 selected applicants will create or expand existing low-income solar programs, which will enable 900,000 households. So these applicants are like organizations who try to put solar panels on people's houses. So first off, these are the people that are going to get their pockets lined because these are organizations who do this, and so they got to pay all their salaries doing this stuff. Then you got to go buy
from
all the solar companies.
Did you get who the selected applicants are?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Oh, right, there's stuff in like almost every state. It's kind of funny. The first several of these are places like New Hampshire and Vermont and Connecticut and New York and Massachusetts and Maine. And like they start up there. And I was looking at a map of like good places for solar. And that's like the worst place for solar in the whole country.
Besides like Washington.
Yeah. Washington is the other Washington is actually the worst place for solar in the entire country. And then it goes to New Hampshire, Connecticut, Vermont, Maine, all those places. And that's like where a ton of the money is going to be going for super inefficient solar panels on top of someone's house that maybe is going to reduce the cost of their electricity. But remember, you also have to believe that you're saving money. You got to believe that you never pay any taxes. Now, these low-income households, probably not paying a lot of taxes. Also, probably don't own the home that's getting solar panels. But they probably don't pay a lot in taxes unless they buy things. If they buy things, they pay a lot in taxes still, not just through sales taxes, but in the cost of taxes that raise the prices of all of their goods also. And so you have to believe that the $7 billion is like a pure, doesn't cost you anything free lunch program. And it's going to put this thing on your house that might reduce your electricity bill if they ever, you know, they get the whole thing working and they actually do it, you know.
Are they going to do this like roofs? It's going to take like 8 layers of solar panels. No.
And then like, what do you do when they go bad? How often are you going to replace these things? I don't.
Are they providing batteries too? Because you have to have batteries to store.
It's probably going to go into the actual system, and maybe you're going to get a rebate, or you know, for the amount of energy that you're putting into the actual electrical grid is the way that would work. Okay.
All right. These awards across the country are to states, territories, tribal governments, municipalities, and nonprofits to develop programs to enable low-income and disadvantaged communities to benefit from residential solar power, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
It's no joke.
No joke. It's a big deal. Solar for All program means 900,000 households will have solar on the rooftops for the first time soon. Millions of families save $400 a year on utility bills.
Jack?
The EPA has calculated that the investment, anytime the government calculates anything, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
Okay.
I want a time that it was right. I will eat my words if you show me the time it was right.
The investment will be distributed through grants to 60 applicant organizations nationwide. It will generate $8 billion in household electricity bill savings over the life of the program.
Maybe. Now, remember, they're saying they're going to spend $7 billion and it's going to get to 900,000 households. So first off, you have to assume that they're going to spend... Well, let's say it's $7 billion. It's a grant. They capped it. There's the money. Then you got to assume that they're actually going to get solar panels to 900,000 households with that $7 billion. You know what my guess is? Probably half that. Now, let's say it's not half that. Let's say it's reduced by a little. Let's say it's 700,000 instead of 900,000. You know, they're trying hard. They got good people trying to do these programs.
They created 200,000 jobs doing this.
You know? At that point, they're saying it's going to generate $8 billion in household electricity bill savings over the life of the program. Now, if you're doing 700 instead of 900,000, well, in that case, you're looking more like $6 billion, $6.5 billion. Okay, so whatever, you're at a loss at that time. What if electricity bills, the amount they're charging actually goes up because they're not taking in as much money anymore and they want to still make as much money as they used to be making, you know, that kind of thing.
And what happens if some of these houses need repairs?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're probably going to need some repairs.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? So what's the what's the lifespan?
I don't know.
Are they expecting these solar panels to be up for 30 years?
Yeah, that's not going to happen, probably.
It's going to last for 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at, you know, low-income people. They really take care of their residents, you know? They're most known for taking care of
That's what their thing.
Yeah. Of homes. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, I have a friend in real estate and she says that the most sought after homes are in low income neighborhoods because those are the most well-kept homes in any neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
All right. Yeah, they said 200,000 jobs. How about that?
Here's another thing that's wrong. So it's going to create 200,000 jobs, Biden said, and advance his Justice 40 initiative, in which at least 40% of the benefits of investments in federal climate, clean energy, and affordable and sustainable housing projects are directed to communities marginalized by underinvestment and overburdened by pollution. Even in his own initiative, he's still marginalizing them by only giving them 40%.
Yeah, I know. Why not 50 or 60? It's just 40.
He's continuing the marginalization.
It's literal marginalization.
By giving them less than 50% of investments in federal climate clean energy.
Oh, okay.
But making it sound good. He also announced a new website, which probably cost a billion, to encourage citizens to join the American Climate Corps, a volunteer government organization modeled on former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's much vaunted civilian conservation corps of the 1930s. Was this before or after the Japanese?
Oh, it would have been before.
Prison camps.
Oh, the camps. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Probably around the same time. They were
probably 30s.
They were conserving civilians. Mm. So I don't know.
The site climatecorps.gov aims to initially fill about 2,000 positions across 36 states, hosted by organizations working on clean energy, conservation, and climate resilience projects. Ultimately, the Corps will employ more than 20,000 young people, the White House says. Who's young? What's young? Aimed mainly at young people, the administration said in a press release that the scheme's objective was to make it easy for any American to find work tackling the climate crisis while gaining the skills necessary for the clean energy and climate resilience workforce of the future. No joke!
Well, at least they won't be doing anything productive. Hmm. So there's always that.
Yeah. I guess those folks that are protesting will have a job.
What a freaking waste. Good Lord.
You know what's weird is that if there was a true market need for solar, it wouldn't need any government investment.
That's true.
Like these young people would be able to find a job because that solar energy would be such high demand.
They could go work in marketing for solar companies.
Yes.
Instead, the marketing for solar companies is propaganda from the government. You know, until they market their products.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous. Let's see. What else do we have on this? I think that's about it. It's sad to see 20,000 young people just going by the wayside there, wasting their time doing this sort of thing. But whatever. You know what people who are in low-income households probably need more than solar panels on their house?
The price of their food to not go up any higher?
Yeah, they probably need inflation to get back down to something like 2% or even 1.5 or 1.
That'd be nice.
Something like that, yeah. but not 19% inflation since Biden got into office. And maybe they need better paying jobs. Maybe all these new jobs that have been created, these crazy jobs numbers, the fact that all of them are part-time and full-time jobs have actually gone down in the last few releases is not a good thing for these low-income households, you know? Maybe they need the government to stop raising the price of college tuition by giving away people's money and borrowed money to make that more expensive. Or maybe they need the government to stop screwing with our healthcare system and making it wildly unaffordable at the same time. I don't know. Maybe, I'll take it back to this issue, they need the government to stop making energy too expensive. Because it sounds like they got a problem with their energy being too expensive. Mm-hmm. And that could be one of the things that you could stop making more expensive as well to help these low-income households. But no, instead, we're going to take $7 billion and put a panel that hopefully will last 10 years and give you just a little bit of help on your bill that I'm sure they assumed is not going to go up the actual price for the electricity that they're charging, because that's what's happened in a lot of places where they've put solar panels. Clearly, the company just raises the price per kilowatt hour of the electricity afterwards, and you don't end up actually saving any money.
Hmm.
So
isn't that weird? So $7 billion to energy companies, basically. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening here. All under the guise of helping low-income, you know, working people. It's just, that's just what government does.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Not only by you guys, but my social battery is totally drained right now. Actually, it pretty much almost always is. Very introverted guy. Takes a lot of energy out of me to go and hang out. Still love it, but takes a lot of energy out of me. It can be easy to ignore a social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. The therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've done therapy in the past. It was very helpful. I'm much better today, much better off today than I used to be. Charlie has also used BetterHelp for a long time in the past. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. Biden called for tripling tariffs on Chinese metals, like steel, aluminum, stuff like that. So Joseph Robinette Biden called for tripling tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum Wednesday when he spoke to union members in Battleground, Pennsylvania. So when you wonder how this is happening, just remember, it's always the
unions.
Unions. They are the downfall of America. Yes, that is correct, Charlie. Mm-hmm. Everything comes down to the unions. That's what it, in remarks at the headquarters of the United Steelworkers, Biden said that China was cheating in its steel trade practices and that the Office of U.S. Trade. Now, get how they're stealing. Just cheating. Sorry. They're subsidizing their steel industry. Now, I get it. Here's the idea. They're going to subsidize their steel industry and make it so cheap that we have to buy steel from them because it's so much cheaper. That's going to put American steelworkers out of business. That's going to kill our ability to create steel here in the U.S. And then they'll go out of business, and then China's going to, they're cornering the market. They're a monopoly, actually. This is unfair practices that they're doing. I think the word cheating is kind of funny when we also subsidize tons of industries here in the U.S., you know,
tons.
Like a lot.
All of them. So
that's a little weird. Biden's in the middle of a 3-day swing through this state, focusing on economic issues, while his opponent, former President Donald Trump, faces jury selection in New York and his trial on charges that he falsified business records to cover up an alleged affair with an adult film star.
Well, so Biden's on the campaign trail. His opponent, political opponent,
is in court. Because he has to be. Because, well, we don't have to get into the whole court thing, but what, it's a great election technique, you know. You just get the Justice Department, you know, to go after Trump for all kinds of stuff and keep him in court throughout the entire
year. I don't know why other countries haven't thought of this.
I know.
You know?
Jailing your political opponents.
Yeah. Tying them up in court.
That's crazy. The Biden administration says China's overproducing goods to export to the U.S., driving down prices and hurting the American economy because higher quality U.S. products must compete with the artificially low-priced alternatives. For too long, they've been pouring state money into Chinese steel companies, pushing them to make so much steel, as much as possible, subsidized by the Chinese government, Biden said Wednesday. They're not competing. They're cheating. They are cheating. And we've seen the damage here in America. Why do you think companies would rather buy from China instead of buying from America? I mean, maybe they're just subsidizing and it's making the price really low, right? And then also U.S. steel, probably really expensive. Do you think it's more expensive than it would need to be?
Yes, because of unions.
Because of unions,
yes.
Yeah. And probably government regulations and stuff like that too, but mainly unions.
Mainly unions.
We know that. It's mostly their fault. The average tariff on steel and aluminum from China is 7.5%. Asked by NBC News whether he was concerned the new steel tariffs would hurt his relationship with Xi Jinping, Biden said he wasn't. He also said that these actions will not increase inflation, but they will protect American jobs and the steel industry. Now, I have to question that. I know you're not supposed to question authority, But if the entire thing here is that China's steel is cheaper, leave out any reason, maybe they're manipulating the market, subsidizing, whatever. Chinese steel is cheaper. American steel is more expensive. And so we're going to put tariffs on the Chinese steel to make it more expensive. And either consumers or producers who are consumers of these goods will buy the more expensive now Chinese steel with the tariffs on it, or they'll buy from American steel,
which is still expensive,
which is still expensive, maybe
raising
even more
the prices
expensive
for
producers, which then will raise prices for consumers because all of the input prices to all of the things went up. And you get one sentence in this NBC News article from a quote from a guy saying, this is a senior administration official saying, this is not going to increase inflation.
Even though the price is going to go up.
Literally, like the point of this, the outcome, if you do this perfectly, the outcome is things will be more expensive. That's literally the outcome. One argues that.
Yeah.
It's actually they're not going to fight me on that. It's like, so stuff's going to be more expensive. They go, yeah.
It's not like you're going to put a tariff on Chinese steel and then all of a sudden U.S. steel becomes cheaper.
No, it's the same price. In fact, it doesn't have to compete as hard anymore. It's actually got a reason to get even more expensive and calling for even more tariffs on Chinese steel. The only outcome is that things get more expensive.
But every building.
But that's not every building, every car.
Coke can.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we've already got plenty of inflation on our Coke cans.
How are people supposed to get diabetes now?
I don't know.
You know?
That's going to make it
be able
more
to afford,
difficult.
They're going to be able to afford their diabetes.
How are you supposed to get heavy metal poisoning?
I don't know.
No.
How are you supposed to make swords?
This literally will increase inflation. Okay, let's not
let's think about this, though. This will probably increase the price of guns, which will reduce the purchase of guns, reduce guns in America. This is how we solve gun violence.
There you go. That's what it is. It's a gun policy. Mm. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. That tracks for sure. In other news, by the way, Biden is probably doing this because tariffs are one of Trump's main talking points. And so Biden is coming now.
So the fight's going to be in these swing states. So in these swing states like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin,
remember, Trump wants to win the union votes too.
Yes, because they want the blue collar votes. That's what they want. So that's kind of what turned the election in 2016 and what turned the election back in 2020, essentially. And so to go after these swing states, they're trying to win that blue collar union work vote. Mm-hmm.
And Trump's trying to do that. And Biden sees that. And he's like, oh, well, I'll do tariffs also. And the unions are going to love it. And it's going to help me get more union support. And that's going to help me in the election. It's probably why he's doing this in an election year. Yet again,
isn't it crazy though that you're like, they can introduce these policies just to try to win re-election, but it has serious effects on your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like their whole goal is just to win re-election.
Mm, that's it.
But the outcome of these types of things, like, decides whether or not your family can like eat or not.
Like everything,
it's insane.
Everything gets more expensive.
Yes.
An airplane gets more expensive. A train gets more expensive. A Coke can gets more expensive. A car.
Which for Boeing, they might need to get more expensive.
They probably should.
Yeah.
Probably should do a better job on that stuff. It's probably just price gouging has been their biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Profiteering. They're taking too much profits, not caring about quality. Got to tell you about our newest sponsor, Monetary Metals. Monetary Metals, newest sponsor, okay? So we got a new link for you guys to go to. We all know the dollar is losing value, and we all know that gold protects you from dollar devaluation, but what if you could do more than just protect your wealth in gold? What if you could grow your wealth in gold instead of in dollars, which is a pretty cool idea? We're very excited to introduce to you Monetary Metals, a company which offers a yield on gold paid in gold.
With Monetary Metals, you can earn from 2 to 5% or even higher rates for accredited investors on gold and silver by leasing and loaning your metal to qualified precious metals businesses. The best part, the returns are paid in ounces of physical metal and there are no storage fees. How does that work? Well, if you're earning 3%, it means that for every 100 ounces you have, you're earning 3 additional ounces every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, getting paid in gold is pretty...
That's pretty cool.
Pretty sweet.
And then the gold goes up in value too, so that's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's your metal and you're in control. Monetary Metals originates and thoroughly qualifies any opportunity before it's listed on their platform. If you don't like an opportunity, simply opt out.
But you can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over the spot price. Or you can use gold you already have, and you can earn interest on gold that you already have. That's pretty cool. They provide free shipping and insurance to get the gold or silver to one of their vault partners. For more information or to get started with your account, go to monetary-metals.com/GML. That's monetary-metals.com/GML.
Sheetz,
which is a convenience store chain. Is it like a gas station too, or is it just a says convenience store chain?
You've never been to a Sheetz?
I mean, I'm sure.
What kind of tours were you on?
I'm sure I have at some point in time, but I was drunk. So what do you expect me to do? All Sheetz. I saw was that there was a gas station and I needed to pull in there so we could get gas. Other Sheetz. Than that, I was too drunk to realize what the name of the place was.
Sheetz is pretty good. They got good food.
It was me describing how I was drunk driving a vehicle into a gas station.
I was going to blow by that.
Okay.
Because I didn't want you to get in trouble. That's all. It's all hearsay though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from you.
No, that's a joke. That was satirical.
Yeah, okay. Clearly.
Whoever wants to take that seriously. Convenience store chain with hundreds of outlets in six states hit with discrimination lawsuit.
It's one of the best. I wouldn't say it's the greatest, but it's one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on tour, for sure.
Of course you would like this place because they discriminate against people.
If you're on tour or you travel around a lot, you know that Sheetz has some of the best food. You go up and order on a screen, typically. You get you can order hamburger, pizza, sandwich.
Hamburger, pizza.
All of it.
Okay.
You know, and then they make your food right there. It's delicious.
Huh. Well, Charlie knows his Sheetz.
Yeah.
Look at this headline. It's pretty funny. Pretty funny description of this. Sheetz discriminated against Black, Native American, and multiracial job seekers by weeding out applicants who the company deemed to have failed a criminal background check, according to U.S. officials. Of course, when you conduct background checks, you are automatically discriminating against people who aren't white.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that this works. It's a ridiculous premise on its... Just first off, let's talk about the principle behind this. We're supposed to have a free market. Now, we don't have a free market. But this is a company. They invest and they open stores and they sell goods to people. They hire people to come in there. They give them jobs, pay them. And one of their criteria for people who are going to be working around all of these goods and around a bunch of people is that they don't want them to have a criminal background. They don't want felons to come and work there.
Which, by the way, is almost everywhere.
Like, that's a lot of places, but apparently this is going to be illegal according to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
The live group is still having a debate about Wawa versus Sheetz. So
I haven't been to Wawa, I don't think, either. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Is that a Northeast thing, possibly?
I don't know. You probably spend all your time at the Come and Go.
The Sheetz convenience store chain has been hit with a lawsuit by federal officials who allege the company discriminated against minority job applicants. Sheetz, which operates more than 700 stores in six states, discriminated against Black, Native American, and multiracial job seekers by automatically weeding out applicants whom the company deemed to have failed a criminal background check, according to U.S. officials.
And every time you read something like this, all I hear in my head is see a phone being grabbed and held in front of my face and saying, "Stop breaking the law, asshole." Yeah.
Thanks for giving me something to edit out. That's great.
Oh, wait. I can't say that?
No, because you said the second word.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I should have just said, Sheetz. Stop breaking.
Oh, Sheetz.
Stop breaking the law, ass. And that's fine.
The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed a suit in Baltimore against Altoona, Pennsylvania-based Sheetz, and two subsidiary companies alleging the chain's longstanding hiring practices have disproportionate impact on minority applicants and thus run afoul of federal civil rights laws.
Mm-hmm.
So just to be clear, they're not actually alleging that Sheetz is intentionally discriminating against people. They're not alleging that they have discriminatory hiring practices where they say like, oh, it's a Black person, I want to hire them. That's a discriminatory hiring practice. They're not alleging that. They're alleging that one of their criteria for their employees has a disproportionate impact on Black, Native American, and whoever else, people who aren't white.
Yeah.
And as long as, according to them, according to this one government agency here, according to them, as long as you can prove that this rule resulted in a disproportionate impact on minorities, then this is against the law for them to do it.
Yeah. This is the so this is why we talk about these things, because we said, I don't know, probably 5 years ago, that you would start to see these types of things happen. Mm-hmm. This is the problem with agencies like the Equal Opportunity Employment, whatever BS agency it is. This is the problem when you try to seek equality or whatever. They will use any metrics or means necessary, as Nate pointed out, to try and come after you. Mm-hmm. And it's the facts of the case are that it just so happens that the majority of folks who have a criminal background check that are applying to Sheetz happen to be of a minority race.
Yeah.
That's
it.
That's their fault.
What if you have standards that say, I mean, not for Sheetz, but what if there's a different job and you're like, well, you need to have gotten good test scores in college. Well, first off, college. What if you require a college degree? But second, what if you just, maybe someone doesn't go to college, be like, well, let me look at your ACT scores instead, something like that. Mm-hmm. But what if that has a disproportionate impact?
Yeah.
And you can't weed people out by what their test scores are, you know? Yeah. Well, that's discriminatory.
Yeah. I think.
Here's how they're justifying it. So there is some backing for this, just so you know. Federal law mandates that employment practices causing a disparate impact because of race or other protected classifications must be shown by the employer to be necessary to ensure the safe and efficient performance of the particular jobs at issue. How about go screw yourself? Mm-hmm. These are our jobs that we are offering to people, and we're going to set whatever standards we want for people who are coming to work. But whatever, you don't have that right in America. They say even when such necessity is proven, the practice remains unlawful if there is an alternative practice available that is comparatively collective in achieving the employer's goals but causes less discriminatory effect. So that's even if they do prove that there's a need for to ensure safe and efficient performance, if there is another way of doing this that other people do it ways that other people do it, then you have to go with that way instead of this one. That's the rule. So let's see. The EEOC is seeking to force Sheetz to offer jobs to applicants who were unlawfully denied employment and to provide back pay, retroactive seniority, and other benefits. That's where we've just gone totally off the rails here. Totally off the rails.
No, we already went off the rails.
Back pay.
This is the complete train wreck. Yeah.
This is a derailment of epic proportions. Yeah. What? So back pay.
I hope Sheetz closes down.
I don't hope Sheetz closes down.
I hope they close every mother truck and gas station in the United States.
You see, I don't want to do that. Because
not just Sheetz, all of them.
What's going to pop up in their stead? It's going to be an employer.
No, we'll all start walking.
No, someone who's going to comply with the government is going to take over all of their business.
No, all going to be the answer. I think all the business owners should get together and just conspire to just quit at the same time. Let them have it.
Imagine saying they should provide back pay. And if you were to even make an argument for that, you have to show that this person wasn't hired and then they couldn't find a job anywhere else either. Now, apparently, since Sheetz is getting sued for this and not the other gas station down the street, they're the only one that requires that you get criminal background checks, meaning if the person couldn't get a job at Sheetz, they could go get a job at your local Wawa or your local Come and Go, whatever it is.
Now, why is Sheetz being sued instead of the local gas stations?
I don't know, because they're bigger.
Yeah, they have over 700 stores and they have the money to pay. Mm-hmm. That's why. Look at this. This is so ridiculous. The agency found that Black job applicants were deemed to have failed the company's criminal history screening and were denied employment at a rate of 14.5%. Multiracial job seekers were turned away at 13.5% of the time, and Native Americans at a rate of 13%. By contrast, fewer than 8% of white applicants, probably like 7.99%, were refused. So what you're saying is they still refuse white applicants who don't pass the criminal background
check.
They do.
They have the same rules regardless of what your color is for your skin. It's just a standard for hiring practices that they have. And it just so happens.
Now, is this a weighted average? Because let's say you have 100 white applicants and 8 of them failed the criminal background check.
Yeah.
Okay. But you have close to 5 black applicants and one of them failed.
Mm-hmm.
There's your percentages.
Yeah.
So are they taking that into account?
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to go look at the actual demographic makeup of their employees. What would be really funny to see is if like over half the people that work for them are black.
Yeah.
Because that's not discussed in this. I have no clue what those numbers actually are, but that would be kind of funny to see. I'm sure we can probably find that information. This is ridiculous. The back pay thing is ridiculous. What if the person left there, went and got a job somewhere else, and they've been earning money this entire time? And now Sheetz has to offer them a job and offer them back pay, even though they went to the next gas station down the street and were earning money this whole time. It didn't harm them financially whatsoever. And you got to give them seniority. What is seniority? Seniority means that you've been there longer than other people, and so you know more than other people that come there. That's what seniority is.
Yeah.
But in the government's view of seniority, see, they think in like union government terms for seniority, meaning just years of service at a place, and it means nothing whatsoever except for years of service at a place.
Yeah.
Seniority at a job at a private company means that you're more knowledgeable about the inner workings of this business than the new people are. So you're going to come in as a new person, and what, they got to offer you a manager position because you've been there for 3 years, technically, according to the government? We're just going to hire this person as a manager. They don't know what the heck they're doing, but gotta give them seniority, you know, this and all the other benefits.
Absurd. This is so absurd.
I tell you what, Biden has been one of the most anti-free market presidents that I've seen in quite a long time. And they're all pretty anti-free market. Trump was way better on the free market than Biden is. Mm-hmm. You got to give him that. And since we think capitalism is very important and leads to better lives for everyone, it's the only moral system that there is, in fact, and it happens to save a lot of people's lives, and economics is the most important thing because more people die from poverty than from war, I tend to favor whichever president's going to be better on economics.
So you're telling me, this is basically what you're telling me.
Yeah.
The only train that can fix this train wreck is the Trump train. Are you announcing your tickets as a conductor of the Trump train?
No, wow. I'm not officially,
this would happen.
Not officially announcing that. No, I wouldn't do that.
You are a narcissist lover.
One more thing here to talk about before we get out of here. Biden, you know Biden?
No. Never heard of her.
The president. By the way, the day that they announced this, I don't have video of it. The day they announced that lawsuit from the previous one, from Sheetz, he went in. So Trump did like this. He went into Chick-fil-A and bought people, I don't know, shakes or something. I don't know, some kind of treat from Chick-fil-A.
How can he do that when he owes like $700 million?
He doesn't have any money. He's broke. But he went in there and... what I heard, the terrible part was that he didn't tip. But he did buy a bunch of people a bunch of free stuff. But whatever, that's fine. And people are like happy, wanting to take pictures with him. He's talking to people, you know, he's good at working the crowd, doing all that stuff. So Biden, like the next day, goes into a Sheetz gas station. And
Sheetz?
Yeah. The next day, goes into a Sheetz gas station and no one cares. There's literally people in the gas station that are just on their phones. Don't care that he's even in there. He stumbled around trying to order stuff. Can't figure out how to order stuff. It's embarrassing. Okay.
Later, this can't be real. You're making this story up.
Ridiculous.
You're making this story up.
No, you want to know the even more not made up part of the story? Later that day, they announced this lawsuit against
Sheetz. No way.
Yeah. Later that day. Just so you know.
What is happening? This is like a joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is all a joke.
It's a total joke.
This is all just a joke.